Well, I wish Tad could have been here today, and he's by his wife's side in her recovery. Him and I traded places back in, I think it was February or January, and so I'm returning the favor. I took my truck in to a certain establishment to get my tires rotated, my oil changed. This was back in, I think, the month of January. And I got about halfway home, and I noticed the light on my dash, the little warning light saying, check your oil level. I'm thinking, check my oil level? I just got my oil changed. Then I thought, oh, no. A month before this, Clayton took his vehicle in to get the oil changed. Then they forgot, they drained it, forgot to put the oil in it. And I'm thinking, oh, no, the same thing has happened to me. And so I pull over and I check, open up the hood. And the first thing I see is I see that the little cap that covers your reservoir for your brake fluid is just sitting there on a flat surface. And the reservoir is all open and exposed. And I'm thinking, oh, great. Well, I went in at the, I was the last customer of the day. And it was on a Saturday. And those young fellows were in a hurry to get home. And so I'm feeling quite disturbed at this particular point. I call them. And of course, they're not in. They've closed. There's nobody to get a hold of. And so I check the dipstick again and look at it. And I could see, just very faintly see, a little bit of oil showing on the very end of the dipstick. And so I got to looking at my paperwork that they gave me, and they put in 4.5 quarts instead of 6 quarts. So I'm thinking, oh, whew, I think I'm okay. And so I made it back to another gas station that I'd passed, put in another quart of oil, and made it home. But I was really seething at this point, and I began to wonder, thinking, I'm going to go see those people the first thing on Monday morning, and I'm going to have a good talk with them. And then I begin to think, well, now what am I going to say? Because, you know, we all make mistakes. They made them. Could have been a huge mistake. If that would have ruined my engine because they didn't have enough oil in it, that could have been a very costly mistake for their company. But as I began to mull this over in my mind, I decided I'd go back on Monday and talk to him about integrity and trust. And then as I was formulating what I was going to say, I got to thinking, you know, Luke 6:41 popped in my head. It says, why do you look at the speck that's in your brother's eye, but you don't notice the log that's in your own eye? And I got to thinking about, well, how many times did I lack integrity? So that's what we're going to talk about today, is integrity. I had an employer one time that on his syllabus, it said, integrity, a concept of consistency of actions, values, methods, measures, principles, expectations, and outcomes. When Jesus was in Jerusalem, he told a parable to the chief priests and the scribes, and after he told them this parable, they became very angry because they knew that he was talking about them. So in their desire to have Jesus arrested, they sent some clever Pharisees and Herodians to Jesus to try to trap him in his words. This is found in Mark, the 12th chapter, verse 14. It says, they came to him and said, teacher, we know you are a man of integrity. You aren't swayed by men, because you pay no attention to who they are, but you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? So they were trying to trap Jesus, as they did many times. But let me ask you this question. Were these men correct in saying that Jesus was a man of integrity? Or were they just saying that just to flatter him? Well, probably a little bit of both. Because we know absolutely for certain that Jesus was a man of integrity. The writers of Hebrews said in the 13th chapter, verse 8, said, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. He doesn't change. Numbers 23 and 19, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? Any student of the Bible knows that God has always done exactly what he said he would do. He's never changed. The scripture is replete with prophecies that have been fulfilled. Matthew 5:17 through 20, Jesus said this, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law of the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter nor the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teacher of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." When you get to the end, wouldn't you love it when Jesus had this to say, "Have you considered my servant Bob?" As he did Job. Wasn't that wonderful what he said about Job? Will he say that about you? "Have you considered my servant Bob or Dwayne or Mike or Linda or whoever?" I've tried to put myself in his shoes. And I think that'd be a great thing for the Lord to say. We know that the scriptures mean exactly what it says when it says we'll be judged by every deed done in the body. We have lots of scriptures to back that up. Ecclesiastes 12:14, 2 Corinthians 5:10, Revelations 20:13. Proverbs 2:6-9, it says, "For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice, and he preserves the way of his godly ones. Then you will discern righteousness and justice and equity in every good course." We know that God's values, methods, measures, principles, expectations, and outcomes are without question. He is the very essence of integrity. If we want to have integrity, all we got to do is pattern ourselves after God, after Jesus. He is the very essence of integrity. But the question is, what about you and I? Have you surveyed yourself lately to see if you are walking in integrity? The book of Proverbs has several other scriptures that talk about integrity. I'll mention a few. Proverbs 10:9, "He who walks in integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will be found out. The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the crookedness of the treacherous will destroy them. A righteous man who walks in his integrity, how blessed are his sons after him. Better is the poor who walks in his integrity than he who is crooked, though he be rich." Paul told the evangelist Titus, and I thank Matt for reading that for us. Titus 2:7-8 says, "In all things showing yourselves to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you." The world is watching you and they're watching me. Your integrity is of utmost importance. Now, let's just take a moment to go back to this story about the oil fiasco that I had. I went back to the establishment on the following Monday. And in my mind, I'm thinking, surely they will at least give me a free oil change because of their debacle. And they were very apologetic, and they were more than happy to do that for me. But I proceeded to tell them that my trust in their company was zero right now. You know, you were supposed to rotate my tires, you were supposed to check all my fluids, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm thinking, did you even give me a new oil filter? Did you actually do everything that you said you were going to do? Did you put the additive in my gasoline that was supposed to clean my fuel jets? I said, you know what, right now I wonder. I don't know if you did that or not. Because of your lack of integrity, I absolutely have no trust in you at all right now. Now, will I get another oil change for them without personally checking the oil myself? Probably not. The next time I go there and they change my oil, the first thing I'm going to do is go out there and check the dipstick myself and make sure that it was filled up properly. You know, the beautiful thing about God is that you can totally trust Him. You never have to have any doubts whatsoever when God tells you anything. But the thing of it is, if you lack integrity, guess what else goes out the window? Trust. Without integrity, you can't be trusted. Do you want your wife, your children, your grandchildren, your church family, your friends, your co-workers, or anyone else that you interact with, do you want them to trust you? I would say most of us would want people to trust us. Well, if you want them to trust you, you have to develop integrity. That's not something that you can turn on and off just in a matter of, tomorrow I think I'm going to develop integrity. It's a long process to develop integrity. In the times that we fall, we have to get back up and we have to have more integrity. If you claim that you're a Christian, expect your integrity to have trusting influence. Now I say if you claim to be a Christian. If you claim to be one and you actually are one, and you do the things that a Christian does, you will be trusted. But if you're a hypocrite like the scribes and the Pharisees were, men who were swayed by men and not by the truth of God, your integrity and trust will be greatly compromised. Trusting is a very, very wonderful thing. 1 Timothy 6:20, O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust, avoiding the profane and idle babblings and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in Him. That's in 2 Samuel 22:31. Psalms 9:10. And those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Psalms 20:7. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. And we remember His name because He can be trusted. James 1:17-21. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth so that we would be a kind of first fruits among his creation. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains in wickedness and humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. It doesn't matter if you're an elder, a deacon, an evangelist, a husband, a wife, a master, a servant, a child, a single woman, or a single man. God has mapped out a plan for you. And when you think about the church, whether you're an older man, or an older woman, or a younger woman, you've got a job to do. If you think of it this way, we're kind of a working machine. A working machine has lots of parts, and all those parts have to work together for that machine to work properly. The question is, are we doing our part? Every one of us have to resolve to be high on integrity. And if we are, people will trust us. Life is full of challenges which test our spiritual integrity. The life that we live must match the words that we speak. Jesus was a person of integrity, and so must we be if we expect to reap eternal life. I put down three things to conclude this lesson. We need to thank God for what you have and trust God for what you need. We have been given a purpose in life, and that is to give God pleasure by doing His will. And we all have 24 golden hours a day to accomplish this purpose. May our integrity be a blessing to those we meet along the way. That's my lesson. It's not very long, but I think it's long enough to get the point across, is that we need to pattern ourselves after Jesus. And we need to have a high level of integrity if we want to be trusted. If you would like to accept the Lord today on His terms and be obedient to Him, there's no better time than now, because we never are guaranteed what might happen after we leave this place. So if we can assist you in obeying the Lord, we sure want to do that while we stand and sing the number selected.